You ready?
Vancouver's favorite way to wake up. I love their personalities. Just what I like. I think it's super funny. Love it.
I'm just going to have to undo my pants.
And those will all address Uranus.
One of the most popular morning radio teams in the business.
Andrew.
Nat Hunter and Drew Savage.
You can get arrested for driving nude.
Can you really?
Yes, of course you can.
Oh, note to self.
Hello, Sherry Shandling.
Nat and Drew.
Optimus Prime with Nat and Drew.
Producer James Cameron.
Hey, Nat. Hey, Drew. How you doing?
I'm Sam Smith.
You're listening to Nat and Drew.
Good morning, Vancouver. I'm Carly Rae Jepsen, and you're listening to The Nat and Drew Show.
Here's Nat and Drew.
Hopefully you had a fantastic long weekend. I had the show over. This was really fun on Saturday night. And everybody came over with their partners. And we hung out. And it was amazing. But there was something that I thought of afterwards. I'm like, maybe we need to stop doing this in polite society. Where, you know, you say to company that is coming over, no need to bring anything. And just stop saying no need to bring anything. Because when you say no need to bring anything, nobody actually listens to that and people bring stuff. So maybe it's just bring what you want.
Well, but people will ask the question, even if it's not been stated from the outset of the invitation, which was very clear when you invited us all over. He's like, want to have everybody over? No need to bring anything. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. People will still ask, even after you've said that, leading up to an event,
sure.
Saying, hey, can I bring anything?
Yeah.
Which I always just associate as food. And so if somebody says, no, I don't, no need to bring anything, I take that to mean food, but I'm still going to bring wine and like a hostess gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting, because I've sort of taken it as usually like when somebody's making dinner, I never assume that I'd be bringing part of the dinner, like unless it was like a different, you do one of these things where it's like everybody brings a course or
sure.
They move around or whatever. I just assume that no need to bring anything means like don't bring any drinks, don't bring any whatever. Like there's really no need. And I totally get this. So I'm not like throwing you guys under the bus because I just think
I'm so angry you bought flowers. How dare you bring a beautiful cake?
You guys all brought stuff. You all brought like lots of stuff, which was so lovely. But it's a weird thing. It's like a dance that we do where it's a host or hostess says no need to bring anything. And the guests go, okay, fine. And then we bring stuff. And if I'm a guest, it's the same way. Somebody says no need to bring anything and I'm like, okay, how many things can I bring? And it's also become this point where like sometimes it's more than one thing now, like it's, you know, so it's just, it's a weird, I feel like I know one person in my life who if you tell him no need to bring anything, he's like, gotcha. And he's like, no. And I don't know whether it's a dude thing or he's like, yeah, I mean, you said no, I'm gonna take exactly what you said,
right?
Because I think we're afraid that if somebody says no need to bring anything and you show up with nothing, that people will talk.
But is it a problem to show up with stuff?
No, it's not. But it's just, you know, it's a weird little dance that we do. Like, it's where nobody means what they say. Like, you know what I mean?
That's a great comparison. I love that, this little dance, because we do it.
Yeah.
Right? We do it, and we all break the rules. And then it's like, you know, if you're going to have a dinner party. And it's funny, Nat, because when we walked in and I saw your table with 1,000 bottles of wine on it, I thought, wow, like you really, and I know this was your intention, was really to take care of everything. But I never think of don't bring anything as including wine. I'm with Drew. It's like, that would be tricky to walk in without a bottle of wine, because I do feel like that's expected now. And I don't know why that is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure whether it's an expected thing. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to fail to live up to expectations. I just find like it's a nice, courteous thing to do, is to bring something. Again, I won't bring anything that's menu related because I don't want to duplicate or send things askew in terms of what the host wanted to do. But yeah, bring something. Like, I don't really feel like it's a dance. It's a simple question. Do I need to bring anything? No, I'm fine. I know exactly what I'm going to do instead. So it doesn't like cause me stress or anxiety or anything.
But
like,
do you think there was always a time and place where there was a, like, had to be a host gift or a hostess gift? Like, I think that's relatively new.
I think the hostess gift is actually the tradition, and bringing food and wine to a dinner party is the new thing.
Right? Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, I mean, back in the day, think about your parents. I mean, they never walked out with, like, you know, a cheese board or, like, a bottle of wine when they were going to a dinner party. They spent the day getting ready, mm-hmm. lit a cigarette, got in the car and went, you know? Those were the days.
We just got a message here from Vancouver. My aunt, who I'm not very close with, invited us to her dinner party. We also asked if we could bring anything. She asked us to pick her up laundry detergent, butter, and a large canister of coffee.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's if you're out anyway.
Yeah. That's a good way to deal with it. You know, like, you know that people want to bring something and contribute, and it's like, I've got the dinner set, but here's a couple of other things around the house that I could really use.
And she's picking very expensive grocery store items, laundry detergent, butter, and a large canister of coffee.
You'll never ask again that question, will you?
No. The Nat and Drew Show on Move 103.
So this was interesting. The New York Times broke down the science behind best friends. I have never really considered, like, when I think of how long, if somebody asked the question, how long do you think it takes to become best friends with somebody? I kind of look at the overall length of time that you've known the person,
mm-hmm.
you know, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, like whatever that time is, mm-hmm. like since you first met them. They literally broke it down and studied the number of hours that you have to spend with somebody before you consider them a best friend.
So if you want to fast track it, you're really like, you're thinking that this person could be a really good friend. You could just like, you should front load it with like spending quality, like 8 hours a day.
Cram in as
numerous
much time.
Days.
Exactly. Yeah. Just cram it
Got
all
it.
In there. And because they broke it down in terms of the number of hours that you have to spend with somebody. They say it takes an average of 94 hours for most people to become casual friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you spent that much time with them, you think you've got, you know, the beginnings of good friendship. Here. True friendship takes 164 hours. Best friends, if you really want to become best friends with somebody, they say that takes 219 hours.
Oh, that's not that many hours.
Of time together.
When you think about it.
It's not.
No.
Like, I don't think so. But I guess it depends. Like, is this somebody, because the numbers would add up differently depending on whether or not this is somebody that you work with. Do you see them for 7 or 8 hours a day? Or mm-hmm. are you spending like 2 or 3 hours with them at a time?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, once a week or every couple of
sure.
weeks. Then
yeah.
it would take
right.
a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know, the best friend thing is really interesting because I don't really...
Is it?
Yes, Aaron, it is, in the sense that I know a lot of people go, this person is my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aaron will say that, but she will also say that to all of us at different times. So
I don't think she's ever said it to me, truthfully.
No?
No.
Joey, that's not true.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you've ever said me my best friend. You said that you love me and you adore me and your life would be a mess without me. But I don't think you've ever actually said, you're my best friend. I've heard that lots and lots and lots to Nat.
But then I've also heard Erin talk about that, like her other friends. Oh, Ellen.
No,
Ellen, my best
no,
friend.
Yeah.
No. Drew, have you said it to Drew? You've said it to Drew?
No, she's never said it to me.
No.
That is not true, Drew.
That is true.
Did she say
I'm
that she loves you?
I'm not angry about it.
Yeah. No, but I consider you guys my best friends. And you know that. And I was thinking it was interesting because it was a bit of a slow burn. And I think it's just time in,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, obviously, when you're spending every day with people that are generally fun and awesome, right? It, you know, over time, that's what happened. And I mean, you guys know I do. I consider you all my best friends.
It was going to go one of two ways. You spend time with people that are like generally awesome. It's
yeah.
either you're going to just be friends or there's
yeah.
going to be some sort of like weird sex thing that happens and then it gets uncomfortable.
Still early for me in this relationship.
You haven't even hit 5 years yet, Joey.
Not yet.
No, it's
early. So
Joey, that's really, wow. based on this study, you've spent enough time with us.
Time to go back. It's Nat and Drew's Retro News.
Taking a look back on this day in pop culture history, May 24th, as we start in the year 2000, when this movie opened in theaters.
Identity confirmed.
Good morning, Mr. Hunt.
Sorry I barged in on your vacation.
Miss Mission Impossible 2. Tom Cruise, the star, of course, John Woo was the director. It didn't get the greatest of reviews, but it became the biggest money-making movie of the entire year, earning over $546 million. The trailer for the next Mission Impossible movie, Dead Reckoning, dropped yesterday. Did anybody see that trailer yesterday? Am I the only one who watched that 10 times yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it. I didn't even know it was called Dead Reckoning.
Dead Reckoning Part 1. Because there's Dead Reckoning Part 2 coming in.
So it takes a long time for the reckoning.
Yeah, it is a long time.
It's a two-parter?
I'm sure it will literally end on a cliffhanger. Because there is a scene in the trailer, so this is no spoiler. There's a scene in the trailer where Tom Cruise is on a motorcycle. And he goes over a cliff and he just separates from the motorcycle and is free falling in midair for what feels like 30 seconds.
Well, and he has a parachute.
Well, it didn't open yet. I'm sure he will at some point, but it's just like, you know, he's actually doing all of this stuff. And that's like that's the crazy thing about the Mission Impossible movies is that I'm sure there is a degree of green screen and special effects and all that stuff. But knowing that he's actually out there doing these crazy things is the bulk of the appeal of these movies, I think.
I agree.
Well, I can't wait for all the reckonings to be happening. Sound the way you're selling it, I am in.
Dead Reckoning Part 1, it's only a year away.
On this day in 1995, this movie opened in theaters.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Braveheart. Mel Gibson, who the historical epic story of William Wallace, who fought the English. And it was critically really well received, like audiences well. It doesn't make the kind of money that we're talking about with Mission Impossible because it was, you know, years before that. But even still, it grossed like $75 million in the U.S., $210 million worldwide. And it was this movie that like, everybody loved at the time and like made men that would say that they didn't cry at movies cry at movies.
I never saw Braveheart, so
what?
I can't tell you whether
we joke about Braveheart all the time.
I know we play the freedom clip all the time. That doesn't mean I've seen the movie and it's on my Mount Rushmore of films.
I thought this was something we shared.
I know the memes, that's about it.
Oh wow.
I haven't seen the movie.
There's a reckoning, I'm having an awakening.
Nothing as it is as it seems. And finally, on this day in 1988, something that has nothing to do with movies at all. A guy named John Machida set a Guinness World Record for fast talking.
Business is business, and as we all know, in order to get something done, you got to do something. In order to do something, we got to get to work. So let's get to work. Thank you for taking me.
He was the spokesperson for FedEx for a few years, so that was one of the FedEx commercials.
Business is business, and as we all know, in order to get something done, you got to do something.
I can't tell a word he's saying.
I mean, I could. If you gave me a second, I could get it all. I'm not saying that I could get a FedEx commercial out of it.
John talks at a speed of 586 words per minute.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better than a lot of people are able to type, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like the precursor to Eminem, who's like the fastest rapper, right? Before there was Eminem, there was this dude.
Do you think this is Eminem's big inspiration?
Yes.
John Machida from the FedEx commercials?
I mean, and Dr. Dre, but also this guy.
Nat and Drew's Retro News. Weekdays at 6:20.
Move 103.5.
Vancouver close to achieving the status of a 15-minute city. 15-minute city. Do you guys, have you ever heard that term before?
15-minute city.
Yes.
You can get to everything super important within 15 minutes?
Yeah, ding, 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 ding. Oh. So basically, SFU is out with a study saying that 79% of Vancouver's population can access a grocery store within a slow 15-minute walk. And then, obviously, the percentage increases for faster-moving travelers. But the idea is that the walk would be slow, and it's 15 minutes. Not everybody has access to a car, so they want to, you know, when you're doing planning of cities, you want to make sure that people have access to the essentials, and that the goal is to, by 2030, to have 90% of the city within a 15-minute bike ride or walk to a grocery store, which is cool. Do you guys now... Now I ask you this. Do you walk to the grocery store?
Sometimes, depending on how much I'm getting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you haven't done the cart thing?
If it's a big... No. like, if it's 2 to 3 bags, I'll carry that, because there are 2 grocery stores within a 15-minute walk of where we live.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, so braggy. 2. We have so many grocery stores.
I'm not being braggy,
choice.
But like the walkability, that actually factored into where we bought our house.
Yeah.
Like to be able to get to some things within a short, reasonably short walking distance. So yeah, like, but if it's the big weekly shop, no.
Yeah.
No, that's too many.
Aaron,
too many bags.
Aaron, you?
I try to walk to our little local grocery store, and I've said this last week, for me, 15 minutes is the max for anything. Mm-hmm. So I love that, that they're focusing on that, because I think that does make it doable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And especially, as you said, at a leisurely pace, like that's doable. And yeah, I think that's good. I try and do small shops close by, and then I'll admit with Drew as well. Like, it's a big one, obviously,
sure.
Driving,
yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah. I think me, for a lot of it, has to do with the weather. It's weather dependent. I don't care. I don't care how close it is. If it's, you know, we've had really, this weekend was amazing, but we've had like really bad weather. And then really bad weather, I'm driving to 100 feet. I will get in the car and I will drive like a tiny amount.
Yeah.
Yes.
And feel no shame about it, though. Maybe I should.
No.
But yeah, so this is like, this is really cool. Like, I mean, you know, there are definitely, pockets that they still need to work on, but that most little communities have access to stuff.
I just want to make sure I understood something clearly. Are they lumping walking and biking into the same category? Because there's a big difference between a 15-minute bike ride and a 15-minute walk.
Well, they're saying, so, and this is a story from the CBC, and they were saying that the idea of the 15-minute city is where everyone can meet their essential needs within a 15-minute walk or ride has been used by urban planners around the world since 2016. I think the SFU study found that in general, Vancouver, you could hit most of it with a walk.
Right. Okay.
Even though, like, I mean, and if you put in bikes, then for sure. Because, I mean, look at our bike lanes.
Yeah. Better be accessible by 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They're a very high priority.
Yeah.
We've shut down Stanley Park, essentially, so we can get some more bike lanes in there. So for God's sake, somebody use it. If you've been married for, I don't know, let's say about 15 years or so or more, you may not have much, if any, experience in online dating or dating through apps. Certainly that's exploded in popularity over the course of the last 10, 15, mm-hmm. maybe even close to 20 years now. I've been with my wife. We haven't been married 15 years yet, but we've been together since 2004. So I've never done the online dating thing. Do you find it interesting if you're married to take a peek at your single friends' online dating profiles?
I have, for sure, in the past. Yeah. I mean, I don't. Every time I see them, I don't say gimme and like let me look.
Right.
But yeah, for sure. Particularly, you know, when people first started going on Tinder, I was very curious, because at the time when Tinder sort of first started, it just really was a hookup site. It's evolved. But so I was very curious.
So we were over at a friend of ours house on Friday night, and she is single and has just newly relaunched and re-entered the world of Tinder. And so another friend of mine who is married, we were there, and she was like, hey, we were kind of joking. Hey, are you on Tinder? And she's like, funny you ask. I just reactivated my account.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, hey, take a look. Let me know what you think of some of the potentials out there.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend and I were like scrolling through her stuff, and which is, again, it's just like a peek into a world that we don't see because we're married. But one of the things that really stood out to me and surprised me, I couldn't get over it, is how many people, because I feel like even though we're not single and we are not on dating profiles, you know, all of us on Nat and Aaron and I are all longtime married. Joey's engaged to be married in a long-term relationship. I feel like we talk about online dating a lot on the show, specifically about profile pictures. You wouldn't believe the number of people who are still posting photos where their face is completely in shadow. And you can't even see them.
Mm.
And I'm like, what was going on? Like, what's going on? There were some profiles. How would you react to this? There were some profiles who only had pictures of their dogs up. They didn't even have a picture of themselves.
Oh.
Like,
I mean,
it's got to be an enormous red flag, is it not?
Is it
or is it cute if you see their dog pictures?
Well, it's cute. Well, like...
If you include a dog picture, it's cute. You got to show yourself, do you not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you do. I'm curious, like, I would be curious as to, you know, why that is. Is the person a little bit shy? Is it like, well, my dog is really cute. Who's going to say no to this dog? Like, I don't know. I do want to see a face.
No.
I also wouldn't be interested if it was like neck down only, which has been some profile pictures.
Mm-hmm. How much of a write-up do you want? Because that's something else that I noticed. There's a variety of write-up. Some people write a lot. Some people don't really write anything. Joey, because you did do online dating before you and Skylar hooked up. Do you want to see a lot written there in the bio?
I want bullet points. Okay. I don't want to read a lot, but I do. Yeah. I want to know a lot, but I don't want to read a lot. So if you could just give me some bullet points, like let's rapid fire through this, okay?
So do you want to know what the person does for a living? Okay. Do you want to know what the person obviously is interested in a long-term relationship or just for fun?
I guess. I guess I would have at that time. Okay, yeah.
On Tinder, you guys?
Well, I was on Plenty of Fish back in the day. That was the really popular one. Yeah.
But Tinder's Tinder's not just hookups now.
No, it really isn't. I don't believe that. No, it really isn't. It hasn't become that. Yeah, it's more. It is more for. Yeah, it's more about like it's more about dates, I think, than anything else. Less about like hooking up, like come on over and
stranger.
Yeah. But I think it's more about like just dating and being on dates with people. Yeah. And seeing where it goes.
I think now if you want to like literally just hook up, you go to the...
Where do I go now?
Dark web.
I was going to say the rando section in Craigslist. Where it's like, I haven't been on Craigslist in a while because I haven't had like to rent an apartment. But there would be a personal section in Craigslist where it's like, you know... people looking for people, blah, blah, blah. And there would also be a section of like... strange requests and you know if who would fulfill them. We had a friend that we used to work with that he had always wanted a certain thing and like to experience something, and I won't get into what it was, and I said, hey, you should put it on Craigslist, and he did.
Did you get it?
Yes, he did.
Excellent. Oh, I love that. Yeah, very quickly. Yeah. It was like ordering pizza. Yeah. It was very, very.
So Aaron, that's where you go for that stuff.
Thank you.
You can weigh in on our social media channels. Also, you can call anytime and text us 103535. The random question today is, what is something summery that most people love but you don't? The weather's been pretty good. People are out and about doing stuff. Is there, you know, summer is generally everybody's favorite season. What is something summery that most people love, but it's not for you?
It is. I like most things about summer.
It's great. It's a great season. It's my favorite season.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. I like most. I can't. It's a hard. Joey, is there something right off the top of the head that fits for you?
Oh, camping is number one.
Yeah.
People are like, let's go camping. And when they say tenting, that's five times worse.
Why? Because camping, I associate camping is tenting, but like, is there some sort of difference I'm not getting?
Well, so when people say they want to go camping, usually it means there's a trailer of some sort involved, and they want to go camping in their trailer.
Can be.
And that's my experience, and then when they say, well, we're going to go tenting, it's like zero chance of that happening. And usually camping, even if it isn't a tent, is at a campground or like a site, whereas like tenting can just be like in the middle of
the
woods.
In the bush. Got it. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, for me, I feel like my biggest issue with summer was resolved when I moved to the West Coast, because I grew up in Ontario, and we would have the humidity that you get in Ontario in the summer, and you'd have like these days where it feels like 40 degrees or hotter. It's why I didn't really like last summer's, because I don't do well in that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I resolved that issue. My biggest gripe with summer when I moved to Vancouver, because we obviously have a much more moderate climate than other spots. So I don't like it. I don't like it too hot, but that makes me feel really Goldilocks.
Okay. Aww.
Aaron, do you have one?
I don't. Okay. I'm so sorry, you guys.
No, that's fine.
I love to pick something that I can, you know, bitch about. But this isn't it.
Okay, that's fine.
Phil, you're just embracing all things summer.
I do, especially if it's something that everybody loves. Like, I could say mosquitoes, but who likes mosquitoes?
Yes. Yeah.
This is hard.
Some people do like the hot, like Nat, you love it, like hot, crazy hot.
I like heat. Yeah, I do. Like the heat dome was too much. I'm not like, I have my limits, but yeah, I like heat. For me, it's probably sand. I don't really like sand.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sand is garbage.
Yeah, like,
you guys.
It's just, I don't want to lie on a towel on sand. I don't like when sand gets on my towel. Like, I'll walk through sand, but then I want the sand off my feet really quickly.
Okay. Like, it's thinking about some of our trips.
Yeah.
And you do tend to like the lounge chairs.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not lying in sand. Like, I feel like I went for a walk at the beach a couple weekends ago. The weather wasn't even really nice. And I went for a walk and I took the dogs and it was low tide and we were out. And it was fun. And they were running around, whatever. I somehow had sand in my mouth. I had not lied down. I don't like, I think it was kind of windy or whatever. I'm like,
yes,
I don't like sand.
I don't mind sand. It's interesting now that you said that. I don't mind sand for me. But when sand used to get in my dog's paws and stuff, like that's terrible to deal with.
Yeah.
I don't mind it on myself, dealing with it, managing getting all the sand off of children and dogs. That's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. We've got a message here.
It's called a hose.
Yeah. Hose them both down at the same time.
A message from your redheaded friend on Instagram, Lake Days. She says, Lake Days, no thank you.
Oh, I don't get that at all.
Redhead.
The beach and sand thing. Like, I don't love going to the beach. Like, when people are like, let's go to the beach and have a picnic or a barbecue or just lay out in the beach. That has no appeal. But Lake Days, I love that.
Teresa, she's in New West, sent us a message. Flip-flops. Can't handle the noise or something between my toes. Leanne just hates summer. All of it. Hate it. All the activities, the heat, all of it.
See, takes all kinds.
She says fall all day. And more for flip-flops. Hot weather. Yes, lots of those ones as well. Somebody said gardening.
The pressure to make your yard look good.
There's something really real in that. Swimming in the ocean, butterflies free, says swimming in the ocean.
I thought you were saying somebody was complaining about butterflies.
Me too.
I really don't like all these colorful bugs. They're just bugs. Yeah. Stop making them sound pretty and glamorous.
Oh my God. Fireworks, that's another one. And a lot for suntanning, actually, which is not really a thing for me either. I like shade. I like being in the shade in the sun. Like,
it's a real dichotomy. You love it super hot, but you don't want to be in the sun.
You
want to be in the shade and have it be 35 degrees outside.
Perfect. The random question of the day.
You're waking up with the Nat and Drew Show.
Okay, here we go.
Now, here's the scoop.
The series finale, the last episode ever of This Is Us, airs tonight at 9 on CTV.
I really wish that I had spent more time appreciating it when it was all happening. Instead of just worrying about when it would end.
This Is Us, certainly known for making people cry.
It's already, that clip is already, it's so emotional.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Tonight's episode may not be, I don't think this is a spoiler, Mandy Moore is talking about it. Tonight's episode will not be as emotional as last week's episode. Mandy said on The Tonight Show that she literally, you think it's hard to cry. She said she literally threw up after reading the script for the second to last episode, which aired last Tuesday. She says the finale, tonight's episode, is more of a hug. More of a hug.
That's good. After the show, for how many seasons?
Six.
Six seasons just like stripped everybody like emotionally bare to your core. It's nice that they can sort of wrap it up in a little smile.
Well, and maybe a little elbow jab too.
I want to know what happened last week.
Well, I read it. I stopped watching the show quite a while ago because I just felt I was crying all the time, and I needed something more along the veins of Breaking Bad than This Is Us. Like, I needed a new Breaking Bad. So I stopped watching This Is Us. But I read last week's episode. Like, I read about it, and cried. Like, not even see any clips.
There are a couple of stories. Because when did you bail on it, Nat or Aaron? How many years ago?
I think like maybe second or third.
Okay. So there's been
early.
There's been a couple of stories that have been in play for a couple of years now, and I'll just say one of those stories in case people haven't caught up. One of those stories came to a conclusion last week.
Mm-hmm.
They wrapped up one of the stories that's been in motion for a while.
Yeah.
Was Randall's dad part of the final couple of seasons?
He did appear in last week's episode.
Okay, good. Because he was my favorite character.
As a ghost?
Well, that's not a spoiler. He died at the end of season one.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah,
so. That's true. Fair enough. Was it all ghosts last week?
Well, you slated against anything else.
They all came back in song and dance routines. Yeah.
Channing Tatum. We all think Channing Tatum seems like a really cool guy, right? Like, you see him in interviews and stuff. He's very charming. I saw him in The Lost City with Sandra Bullock. Like, I mean, he just seems lovely. Mm. And, of course, that has to be true. However, maybe he was having a bad day. This is also the British tabloids. They're not always fully accurate. But here's the big story going around that Channing apparently had some diners kicked out of a London restaurant because he thought they were taking his picture, even though they weren't. A source says there was a group of six people enjoying a meal and taking pictures of each other. Channing thought they were taking pictures of him and furiously stuck his middle finger up at them.
Oops.
Well, I hope they got a picture of that. Yes, that's a good picture. Good picture for the gram. Flipped off by Channing Tatum.
That's exactly. He's really angry.
Yeah.
Just trying to enjoy Channing. My pasta. The next thing, the maitre d' was telling them to leave. So Channing's rep has not made a comment yet. He is in London filming the next Magic Mike movie, but that is the story, which I refuse to believe because I did see him in The Lost City and he seemed very lovely.
And he buried the lead. He's making another Magic Mike.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the final.
This is the story I care about.
This is the final installment of Magic Mike. He's been talking very publicly about how he had to, like, the fitness for that is so insane.
Maybe that's why he was so grumpy.
He's at the end.
Yeah,
this diet.
Yeah.
The Scoop. Weekdays at 7:20, 8:20, and 9:20.
Move 103.5.
It's Nat and Drew's $1,000 Minute.
Brought to you by Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Well, it's Noel's time to shine here this morning on the $1,000 Minute. How was your weekend, Noel?
Good. How are you?
We're good. What did you do that was so great? Anything?
Too many things this weekend.
We actually might be putting pressure on Noel.
He's like, it was great. I told you it was good. That's enough. I don't have a backstory. Yeah. It was good.
It was a long weekend. It was an extra day off. Yeah. That's enough.
Yeah, for sure. Noel, let's get you $1,000 to start off this short work week, okay?
Great.
1 minute on the clock. We'll ask you 10 questions. You get all 10 right. That $1,000 is yours. If not, it is $10 for each correct answer you give us. If you don't know the answer to something, say pass. If there's time, we'll come back to it. The moment you give us an answer counts. You can't take it back.
Good luck, Noel. Here we go. $1,000 Minute starts right now. Who plays Pete Mitchell in the Top Gun movies?
Tom Cruise.
What type of juice is used to make a Caesar?
Clamato.
Which came first, Donkey Kong or Mario Brothers?
Mario Brothers.
Where is the smallest bone in your body located?
Your foot.
It's John C. Reilly's birthday. Who is his co-star in movies like Talladega Nights and Step Brothers?
Will Ferrell.
If you double 36, what do you get?
72.
Earthquakes are generally caused by the shifting of what under the Earth's surface?
Tectonic plates.
True or false, tuna are warm-blooded?
True.
What Alberta team are the BC Lions playing in this weekend's preseason opener?
I can see their face. Rough Riders.
Rough Rough Riders.
Rough Riders. No, the Stampeders. Calgary Stampeders.
Oh, no.
In the preseason. Yeah, I
Rough
know.
Rough Riders
the,
not in Alberta.
No. Yeah. We didn't get to question 10. You did really well. There's a few stumbling blocks here. So you got the first two right. Which came first, Donkey Kong or Mario Brothers? It actually is Donkey Kong. The smallest bone in your body is located not in your foot, it's in your ear. Then you get the next four right, and then you got stumbling block on the CFL. We didn't get to question 10. So
6 out of 10, yeah. $60. Hey, here we go.
$60, thank Noel. Thank you very much for playing.
Thank you.
Okay.
The Nat Andrew Show on Move 103.5.
Low-key Noel.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, he's got to get back to work.
Absolutely. We appreciate it, Noel. Thanks for having some fun with us. We'll do it again tomorrow, 7:30, $5,000 minute. Powered by Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
The random question of the day. Random question of the day. Silly little question. A funny little question. A wacky little question. It's the random question of the day.
What is something summery that most people really enjoy about summer, but you don't? You don't get why people like this. Like, for example, Courtney said, the beach. Lugging all your crap there. Walking 1.5 miles to the toilet, sunscreen, sand, all of it. For Courtney, that is something summery she does not like.
All right, Courtney.
So we're asking this because generally speaking, most people, when you say, you know, what's your favorite season? I think, you know, summer would have it for most people. I get there's fall fans and, you know, whatever. Every season is going to have its fans, but sure. It tends to be like summer. We all look forward to summer.
Good weather.
You know, childhood memories, good weather, vacations, all those things. But what is something summery that you don't like? Aaron can't think of a damn thing.
No way.
No, you love all of it.
Every single aspect of
it. You're the opposite of Courtney here. Joey, you?
I don't like going to the beach. Don't like going camping. Anything really too outdoorsy with too many bugs. Not a big fan.
Drew?
I'm not a big fan, although we don't really have to this. I feel like my thing got rectified when I moved here because I don't like it crazy hot.
Yeah,
I grew up in Ontario where it gets crazy hot. Nat likes it when it's 35, 36 degrees, although she enjoys being in the shade.
Mm. Only in the shade.
She wants it to be hot, but she doesn't want to be in the actual sun.
No, because I don't suntan. I will be in the shade under an umbrella. And if it's like 25 or 26, there's a chance I might still have a shawl on. But if it's 35 or 36, then I don't need my shawl. So, Alexis,
once it's 32, Nat loses the shawl.
That's right.
That's the cutoff temperature.
Yeah. Alexis sent us a message saying eating outside on a patio. She doesn't like that. Said bugs, heat, sun glare, allergies. I will take an inside air-conditioned restaurant any day. Maureen's got any food or drink involving pineapple.
Mm. Yeah, that is true. People are always like, oh, summer, that and coconut. They're like, summer. And I'm like, bleh.
That's why I don't like eating pineapple, but I'll drink pineapple.
Like a pina colada?
No. Yeah, yuck. For sure.
See, yuck.
And, yeah. I like pineapple, so I will eat pineapple. Different Maureen said houseboating, trapped.
Oh, disagree with that. Skyline and I booked a houseboat for this year, and I'm so excited.
Did you?
Yeah.
Going in August. Weekend's all set?
Yes.
Who are you going to trap with you?
We haven't decided yet. Some people have bailed already.
You and Skylar.
Yeah, it might just be. Yeah.
Are you going up to the shoe swaps again? Or when
sure
are you going?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Somebody also hates watermelon. A text from Vancouver at 103.5.35. Watermelon. Every restaurant feels it's necessary to serve something watermelon flavored. I hate watermelon in the summer.
Watermelon's great. Yeah, I love watermelon.
Best.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. It's no pineapple.
Well, listen as we rank the summertime fruits.
It is sour. So maybe I'm wrong here in thinking that like summer is everybody's favorite season because it feels like there's a lot of people that don't like anything to do with summer.
I was actually surprised you said it was your favorite because I would assume because of the shawl that, you know, fall would be.
No, because fall is cold.
Yeah, it's not, I guess it's not 35.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But you can make it 35 inside.
Which right? I do.
I know.
604-280-1035. You can share yours by phone, by text at 103535 or join the conversation on social media as well.
The random question of the day.
Man, you know, if you own a Tesla, you're probably the envy of people around you. I know there's a lot more Teslas than ever before, but particularly when they first hit the market, it's like, oh my gosh, a Tesla. Now you see a lot of them, but still, oh, a Tesla. Right now, you know, like having an electric car saves you a lot of money on gas. But maybe hold up a second on that Tesla purchase. Have you heard this story? It's very scary. The man is okay, but a Tesla driver in North Van was trapped in his Tesla. Like the car, he just rolled to an intersection. He was stopping, and then the car just shut down and then had like an error message go off.
Error.
And then
is that what the Tesla sounds like?
Error.
That's in our heads what we think happened. The error message probably just flashed, but in my mind, the robot's trying to kill you, so it's error. And then it burst into flames.
Oh my gosh!
It started smoking and burst into flames. The guy had to kick himself out through the window to get out of his Tesla that had locked him inside. Like, isn't that, Joey, you have a Tesla. Are you freaked out?
I truly, like, you know, it was, you kind of joke about it. Like, oh my God, they caught on fire. But truly, like, I was kind of scared. And we went online to Amazon and we ordered some window punches to have in the car and seatbelt cutters.
Yep.
Just in case. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It just, I mean, because Teslas are not that old. Like, they haven't been around forever and ever. So it's kind of all new.
Still fairly new technology. Those are good to have just anyway for anybody in their car. A few years ago, Aaron, didn't you give everybody on the show one of those for Christmas one year?
House of Knives. And then I handed them out.
Oh, okay.
And I may have implied
that they were from you?
Yeah.
What? This whole time I thought Erin is the most caring person.
That's exactly what I thought.
She gifted us these window smashers and seatbelt cutters, and literally House of Knives just sent it to the show.
Yeah.
Erin intercepted a promo package.
Uh-huh.
Okay, right. Okay. Uh-huh. Anyway, that's a separate conversation, I suppose.
For another day. For another
sort
day.
Out another time. But the idea is those are just in general good to have.
Sure.
But for sure, based on that story over the weekend, Joey, I can understand why you'd want to make sure you have one now.
Yeah, just for whatever reason, I was like, I want to have it. Especially, like, I'm watching my nephew now, and we'll sometimes go in the car, and, like, we'll drive places with him in the car seat. And I was like, there's a whole different thing. I was like, it freaked me out.
Well, because it feels, you know, a regular car, right? Like, there's not a chance of it, like, developing a consciousness, right? You know, with a computer, there is always that chance, right?
Yes.
There's a chance of, like, it becomes self-aware and decides that it doesn't want to go where you want to go.
It does feel sometimes, though, when you're having car problems, that it feels personal, like your car is exacting revenge on you, but there's no basis in reality for it to develop.
No, when you have an old school car, when you have a computer car, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that. I do feel like there is that, you know, like that idea of a robot overlord, and it could be your Tesla.
I'm telling you, it's what it feels like.
Now, here's the scoop.
It was the season finale for SNL on Saturday night, but it was also a farewell to some really big cast members. I think we had heard on Friday that Pete Davidson was leaving the show, but also Kate McKinnon, she was done. It was her farewell. Adi Bryant, Kyle Mooney. It was big farewells for all these people. Pete Davidson actually did a skit, and many say it was really the best skit of the night that ended up getting cut for time. So it didn't, SNL put it out after the show had aired. And everyone's like, why did you cut this skit? It was so great. So it's a rap that he does, and it's supposed to be with him and the show creator Lorne Michaels. And so it's Pete Davidson doing all this stuff, and he often does raps that sort of sound a lot like Eminem. So this is a bit of the rap.
Nowadays, everybody wanna act like they're breaking the form. But every time I'm looking online, it seems it's just a bunch of old memes. All these moms hacks forgot about lore.
Yo, what's up, dude?
It's another parody. It's like another tribute or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the third one.
Yeah, I would just stop. Yeah, they all suck.
So that's Eminem. So nobody, like, so just also he's rapping whatever. At the very end, the whole thing is like Eminem just comes out, walks out onto the stage, and it's like, dude. Enough.
That is wild that they cut a surprise appearance from Eminem from the show.
Yeah. Like, Eminem's like, I left Detroit. I left my mom's spaghetti restaurant for this. And you cut me. Makes no sense whatsoever.
The Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial has entered its sixth and I believe expected final week.
Oh my goodness.
Of testimony for
six
everybody
seasons.
For everybody who's been binging the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial, jam it all in this week because they're expecting it to wrap up. Earlier, Amber had testified that her role in Aquaman 2 had been drastically reduced due to the publicity surrounding her breakup with Depp. Well, yesterday it was revealed that she might have been cut from the film entirely had it not been for star Jason Momoa and director James Wan. Both were adamant that she remain in the film and the role not be recast. Apparently, Warner Brothers just wanted to cut her entirely, and they were the ones who went to bat for her and said, no, we want her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they agreed, we want her, but I guess we'll have to get a lot less of her because she's barely in this movie, but I guess she's in it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you know what, maybe speaks to a different side of Amber Heard. There are people that are loyal to... Yep. To Amber Heard. I know that, you know, she has not come across very well, it seems like, in this trial. But, like, you know, Jason Momoa and the director James Wan was like, hey, like, you know, we made a commitment. She's been professional.
If she was a monster on set and somebody else said, maybe we should cut her, you would think that they would be like, oh, okay. Good idea. Because it's not on me for suggesting that. But no, they were the ones to insist.
So, I mean, I don't, with this trial, again, every time we talk about it, like, I don't really know. I feel like they, both sides have... monster qualities. There's some, you know, so there's like, there's lots of like, but maybe with like monsters, like sometimes you can, you know, dial it back.
rehab a monster, perhaps?
No, I'm not saying rehab. Oh, okay. I'm like, just bottle it up for a while.
Well, we'll see what the series finale brings on Friday in this saga.
The Scoop. Weekdays at 720, 820, and 920.
Move 1035.
Have you ever been tempted to get like vanity plates for your car? Personalized license plates?
I think when I got my driver's license, I always thought, or before I got my driver's license, I always thought it'd be such a cool thing to have, like, you know, a vanity plate, you know, back when I was a kid. I don't know what it would have said, but, you know, but in my head, like, way back when, I thought it would have been, and then I'm like, well, no, I don't want one now. But way back when, I did.
Once upon a time, there was possibly a double entendre in the vanity plate.
Or maybe it would have just said sexy with so many X's.
Oh! This was funny. CTV News obtained a list of... this was from ICBC. CTV News obtained the list. Of course, every year people submit requests for certain vanity plates, personalized plates. Understandably, they don't all get approved. So this list that CTV received from ICBC outlines some of the rejected requested personalized license plates over the last couple of years in British Columbia, including Yo Mama. Rejected. Too bad for you. Also rejected.
Why?
Yeah, that doesn't seem that bad.
I think sometimes it's like somebody else has it, but is that, do they say in the story? Because sometimes they don't
differentiate between the reasons for why, whether there's some internal standards or whether somebody else is already driving around in BC with too bad for you. Wrong. I'll sue. I'm late.
Sorry, I like I'll sue.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Or how about I dare you?
Maniac, also rejected. So was Ass Man.
Somebody's also... always trying Ass Man.
Yeah, they try every year.
We vape.
Okay.
Yikes.
What up? Four different spellings of crypto. Daddy with the number 4 in the place of the A.
Oh, God, with a daddy.
Daddy.
Love it.
Yeah. No, so gross.
Ruh-roh.
Oh.
Ruh-roh. Rejected. Ruh-roh.
How is the what was the ruh-roh?
Ruh-roh.
Okay.
Ruh-roh.
That's too bad, because that's a fun one to figure out.
And I feel like people who have pugs as dogs are really into having personalized plates, because all rejected in the last couple of years. Pug Bug, Bug and Pug, Pug Buggy, and Pug Life.
Oh, I love those.
Ruh-roh. All the pugs just wanting to, pug owners wanting to wear their love for the pugs right on their car.
Now, those are cute. Like, pug life is cute. That's
the
cute.
Best.
That's cute. Not as good as I'll sue.
Or I dare you.
Catch the Nat and Drew Show. Weekday mornings from 5:30 to 10.